Mark chapter 5, and we will start reading in verse 25. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. If you've known me very long, you know that I love plays. I love to be in plays. I love to have fun in plays and do things like that. And I get it naturally. My grandmother, Virginia, she wrote plays and has written a lot of plays, and my dad has as well. I've got a lot of great ideas, but haven't made it to paper yet. You can all laugh right there. I love plays. And I sometimes when I read the Bible, especially in the New Testament, I tend to break down a story like a play. That's the way my mind works, the way my brain works. And I try to look at the whole scene and try to look at the players in the scene and the cast and wonder how things would work out. And that's the way I look at these things. And sometimes when I read this story specifically, it plays to me in my mind like a play, like a movie, so to speak. And so tonight, with that in mind, I mentioned to you last week what I had planned to preach on last week, and the Lord took over, and thank God for that. Two people, precious people, were saved. Cody and Desiree, they're back with us again. Haven't missed since they've gotten saved. That's a good sign. Amen. Amen. And so tonight, my title, my message is this: when the supporting role becomes the star. When the supporting role becomes the star. We know in any play you got to have a director. And we know the director of this play in Mark chapter 5, of course, is God the Father. And we know the main character in this story is none other than Jesus Christ. But sometimes in movies and sometimes in plays, you look at things and things come out from a different area. And sometimes the lesser known roles really make the play. And today, in my mind and in this passage of Scripture, we have a story, and I'll lead up to this text. A man by the name of Jairus, he would be a main character in the play. A man by the name of Jairus, he had a daughter who was sick. You all know the story. She was 12 years old, and Jesus was coming to him in order to take care and to heal his daughter. But while he was on the way, something happened. This play took a turnaround. This play took a left turn, so to speak. And picking up in verse 25, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him out in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came a ruler of the synagogue's house, certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word, but that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. We'll stop there with the reading of the word. And we know that Jesus went on in into the house and raised Jairus' daughter up from the dead. Because you know Jesus never had a funeral procession, did he? He never preached a funeral. He always broke up funerals, didn't he? Amen. Because he had that power. But this is what I like to do tonight. I have plays are broken up into different scenes and acts. And so, first of all, scene one is the contrast. Scene one is the contrast. We have two people here that are supporting roles in this movie, in this play, so to speak. We have Jairus. Jairus is a wealthy man. Jairus is very notable. Jairus' name was even mentioned in other passages of Scripture and even in this text in Mark chapter 5. We know he must have been a very important man. But here on the contrast, we have a woman with an issue of blood, and that's all you know about her. You do not know her name. You do not know anything about her other than the fact that she was sick for 12 years with this issue of blood. Jairus was blessed 12 years with a daughter, but this woman suffered 12 years with a disease. But aren't you thankful tonight that even though there was a great contrast between Jairus and this woman, God makes no respect of persons. Jesus comes to all those that will come to Him and ask Him for anything that they need in their life. I'm glad tonight that Jesus makes no difference whether you're rich, whether you have more money than Bill Gates, or whether you're a poor lowly beggar on the side of the street. Thank God Jesus wants to save you. He wants to heal you. He wants to perform miracles for you. He has no respect of persons. Can you say amen to that? Matthew 18:11 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Now that's why important. We mentioned it here. I think Cameron mentioned it here on Wednesday night. We read and we teach and we preach from a King James version of the Bible. I'm not going to knock any of the other versions, but I'm just going to tell you this. Matthew 18:11 ain't in a lot of the other versions. So I just want to tell you, this is the playbook that we go by. So if you're going to understand what we do and preach here, you're going to have a King James version of the Bible. But I'm glad Matthew 18:11 is still in the King James version. That's a pretty important verse to take out, isn't it? The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So that means regardless of your station, regardless of your stature, regardless of your predicament, thank God, Jesus can save you. Jesus can save you. Jesus can save you. Hallelujah. Matthew 20:28 says, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many." That includes everybody. Matthew 11:5 says, "The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." Ephesians 6:9 says, "Knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with Him." And I like this, Romans 10:12-13, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord," say it with me, "shall be saved." So it doesn't matter the contrast that you may have in your life. It doesn't matter where you think you're at in your life as far as poverty or wealth. Thank God Jesus is no respecter of persons. He wants to save you for who you are and make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Can you say amen? Thank God. There's the contrast. Scene two. Notice the condition. Scene two, the condition. This woman had a 12 long year affliction. Not only was she battling 12 long years physically, but I believe she battled 12 long years spiritually. I believe that every day of her life, what did she think, am I ever going to get rid of this? Am I ever going to be healed of this? Many years ago, I preached a message on the hem of His garment, and I was able to find some information from a Bible encyclopedia that suggested that there were 11 different remedies for a woman with an issue of blood. And I believe that the Bible is correct in saying this, that she tried every single remedy there was. I believe she, even though no matter how crazy it was, she tried every single remedy there was out in the world to get rid of her pain, to get rid of her problem. It left her defiled. Can you imagine that? Because of this disease in her body, she was defiled. She could not enter into the house of God. She could not worship with her family. She could not even be with her family. She was defiled. She was destitute. She was discouraged. Can you imagine every day of her life getting up? It's the same thing over and over and over and over and over again for 12 long years. You'd be discouraged too if you're in the same predicament. Not only was she desperate, discouraged, but she was also desperate. And then she was disappointed. Everything that she had did in her own power didn't make her better. In fact, it made her worse. She was really without hope as far as the world is concerned. But aren't you thankful tonight that God had a different plan? God had a different plan for her life. And God has a different plan for your life tonight. Many of you are like this woman I feel preaching tonight. Many of you are like this woman with the issue of blood. You're walking around defiled because sin has has entered into your body. You're walking around destitute. You're discouraged. You're desperate. You're disappointed. You've tried everything in the world to make you better, but you're still miserable. There's still something on the inside that is longing for peace. There's still something on the inside that you know just isn't right. There's still something on the inside that drugs cannot satisfy, that alcohol cannot satisfy, that other people cannot satisfy, that other religions cannot satisfy, and you still are empty on the inside. But thank God, you must realize your condition tonight, and thank God Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, wants to do something miraculous in your life tonight. Hallelujah. Can I just park it right here just for a moment and tell you there's still only one way to get to heaven? And His name is Jesus Christ. I don't care what other religions tell you. I don't care what other, I don't care if other religions and other churches in these areas, in this area around these counties tell you it's okay to drink, tell you it's okay to live like the world and be like the world and be okay as long as you come to church, well, one day a week or a couple hours a week. No, that ain't right, folks. The Bible still says sin is sin. Sin is sin is sin. You cannot get over that. It don't matter how you justify it. You can look at somebody else down the road, but it still doesn't take away the fact you're still sinning and you need Jesus in your life. Other religions will paint a pretty picture. Other churches will paint a pretty picture, but you really can't find out about them until you cut them open and look on the inside. It's like picking watermelons. I love watermelon. I could eat it all day long until I'm sick. I can. I love them. But there ain't no one in here that can tell me the right way to pick a right one. You can try straw on it. You can knock it. You can see how much yellow it's got on it. You can tell how green it is. You can tell how heavy it is. But really the only way to tell if a watermelon is good or not is to cut it open and taste it for yourself. And I'm telling you what, these other ones may look green. They may look good. They may have a dull thud when you look at these other churches and other religions. But when you cut them open, they're nothing but dead, dry bones. It's nothing but emotionalism. It's nothing but fake. It's nothing but have a party all the time and be feeling happy on your way to hell. Listen, there's a way that seemeth right to man. And I'm telling you what, the end is destruction thereof. But Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. You got to realize your condition. Scene 3, the choice. No doubt she heard of Jesus. She was seeking after Him. No doubt she heard what He could do. And she thought, I've done all that I know to do. What could this hurt? What could this hurt? But she went against every religious form to get to this man called Jesus. She knew she had to get to Him. She was seeking after Him. And listen, if anyone in the Bible had excuses, this was the lady. She had every excuse, but yet she didn't let these excuses stop her from making the choice to get to Jesus Christ. She had so many people around her. She could have used the people and the crowd as an excuse. She had her position in life. She was a woman. They didn't treat women very, very right, and they didn't treat them very wrong, really. When you had a disease, they treated you awful. They was just an outcast, isolated from everybody else. She could have had that excuse of the people, of her position in the community, but also the pain she had went through. She could have had every excuse, but she didn't. She didn't let the excuses stop her from making the right choice. She knew her condition, and she knew that Jesus was the answer. So she made the choice. She thought she was going to get lost in the crowd. But I'm thankful tonight that when you press through and when you reach out and just touch him, you'll find in another scripture. The Bible says when she touched his clothes, the hem of his garment, Jesus in another passage said, who touched me? She went beyond the clothes and touched Jesus Christ at his heart. And because he felt the virtue go out of him. And when he turned around, you'll find that the Bible says that immediately, the blood, the fountain of her blood, the Bible says, was dried up. She was immediately healed after one touch of Jesus Christ. So that brings us to scene 4, the cleansing. After she touched the hem of his garment, the Bible says she felt in her body that she was made whole. Every medical doctor would have said, you need to do this or do that. But she came to the great physician and one touch from Jesus, thank God, dried up that plague in her body. But listen, sin. It wasn't so much her touch. It was the faith behind the touch. That was the key of her getting cleansed that day. And listen, you may be in the same situation. And I know Dee Dee isn't here tonight, but she may be listening. And I just want to tell you, honey, I want to tell you your faith is greater than anyone I've ever seen in my life. And I'm telling you, just in time, on time, in every time Jesus is going to make a way, you step out and press through and touch His garment. And thank God the healing's going to come. And thank God other people may not know who Dee Dee is, but thank God one of these days she's going to be the star of this great play that Jesus is directing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She touched the hem of His garment. And faith was the key. And immediately the fountain was dried up. Scene 5. It wasn't over. There was a confession that came. The confession. The Bible says in our text, when he turned around, "Who touched me?" Fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and listen to what it says, and told him all the truth. She came and confessed to the Lord Jesus Christ. She came in front of him and bowed down in a humble state and told him everything that he already knew. But yet she was honest with him and said, "It was me, Lord, that touched you. It was me." And confessed and understood who Jesus was and what he could do to her. He didn't do this to embarrass her. He didn't do this to hurt her. He didn't turn around and call her out for people to look down upon her. He did this for a reason. And here's the conclusion. Why did he do that? Why did he stop in the first place? Why did he stop when he was on his way to heal a man's daughter? And now she's dead. I believe with all my heart that Jairus was on his way to get Jesus. And this woman, this is playing in my mind, this woman touches Jesus' garment and Jairus is right there watching all this happen. Now, let's look through Jairus' eyes for a second. What's he seeing? He's worried because his daughter is sick. He knows who Jesus is and what he can do because he called for him. But yet Jesus stops, takes time to heal this woman. This woman is healed immediately. What's Jairus seeing? Jairus is seeing the power of God. And don't you think it's going to be a lot easier on him to believe that Jesus, what he did right there, he can do for his daughter just right down the road? Hey, listen, because Jesus chose to heal this one over here, it gave someone else the power to believe that he was able to do what he did for her. He can do it for them. That goes back to my first point. He's no respecter of persons. Listen, we're seeing things happen in this church right in front of our eyes. And listen, there is no one in here that can tell me that you cannot believe that Jesus can do anything for you. We've seen people healed of cancer. When that Calray asked all the people to be healed of cancer to stand up, I was amazed at all the people in this church, dozens of them that stood up that have been healed of cancer. There's been people that have needed jobs and God provided a job. There's been people that's been wronged and God worked it all out. There's been people with marriage problems and God restored their marriage. I'm telling you, there's nothing that God cannot do. All you got to do is look around. There were people that were down in the supporting role of God's big play, but thank God by the time they were done, they became a star, and we're looking at them thinking, "God, if you can do it for them, you can surely do it for me." He can do it for you. He did that to encourage Jairus that he was able to help him, and then finally he did it to dispel all doubt. To dispel all doubt that he was who he said he was. You cannot doubt for one minute who Jesus Christ is, or you'll never get anything accomplished in your life. You'll never be saved. You will never be healed. No miracles will ever happen for you if you do not realize and confess who He is. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe with thine heart that God hath raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must confess and believe. What did He say? The very last words I read to you, Jesus said, be not afraid, only believe. What do you need God to do for you tonight? Do you need Him to get rid of the fear? Do you need Him to do something for you that you think is impossible? Just come. Come and be a part of what God is directing. And I guarantee there's something wonderful waiting for you.